We are finally on our last CD, and I think it would be appropriate on this particular CD that we go ahead with a review of the entire series. We'll go over many of the main points. This way, if you want to just pop in at least this CD and keep reminding yourself of the information, you'll be able to do that. And then maybe every 3 or 4 months, you can start listening to the entire program again. I think you will agree that there is a wealth of knowledge in this Millionaire Mentor series. Really, when you stop and think about it, one of the main purposes of putting this program together is to help you shave off some of that learning curve that really can save us years and years of heartache by listening to the experiences of other people. What it will do for us by listening to mentors and applying their knowledge and their wisdom is that it will help us decrease our losses, and if all goes well, it will increase our profits. One of the first things that we discussed in this program was the value of time. You know, the more you value time, the more you're going to manage that time and the more productive you're going to be. Remember, successful people manage their time. So do a mental review on yourself. What do you do with your time? How much of your time is spent maybe watching TV, or how much of your time is spent doing things that are really valueless? Where could you take that time and apply it into some other areas of life and get greater results? We also discussed the value of taking risks. You know, you really can't get to that next level without taking risks. And of course, each one of us individually have to determine how much risk we're willing to take. But if you want to get results, you have to take risks. We've got to get out of that comfort zone. I also shared with you the importance of asking. It's one of my favorite words. Ask if you want to get something. If you want to get to that next level or you're thinking about trying to do something, remember, ask, ask, ask. It's a powerful word. We also discussed why people fail to succeed. You know, people really many times on a financial avenue, they don't live within their means. They want that instant gratification. And a lot of times when people push for that instant gratification, basically they do a lot of that through credit. They don't live within their means and they're working every single day to catch up, or they just live from paycheck to paycheck. We focused on what it's like to be like a stamp. Remember, stick to one thing. Don't be a business adrenaline junkie where you become excited about one thing or idea and you go on that for about a month or two and that doesn't work for you, so you jump to something else that gets you excited again. You get excited about getting excited. To be successful, we have to stick to one thing. When you identify someone who's successful, one thing that you'll find that they have in common is they've done what? Yep, they've stuck to one thing. Get that one thing down, master it, and profit from it. And then maybe go to some other things. One of the key points that we discussed in CD2 was how marketing played such an important role in business. Keep in mind that we can have talent, but talent isn't enough. How many talented people are out there, but they're making no money? It's because they don't know how to market themselves or their business. Always remember, if you ask the question, what can I do to make more money? Go back to the 3 things that we discussed on helping you make more money or grow your business or increase your sales. Remember what they were. Number one, we have to bring more people to our business or to our store. Number two is that we have to extend the shelf life of that customer. Keep them coming back over and over again. And the third one was to increase the amount of purchase per transaction a customer makes with us. Those are the 3 key ingredients to growing your business. Don't forget them. Also, remember what we talked about, frequency in marketing. We want to drip, constantly be in front of the customer. How do we do that? Well, there's many ways, aren't there? There's the emails, there's other promotions, postcards, phone calls, advertising. The list goes on and on. Now, in the 3rd CD, we talked about how to deal with customers, and we talked about business ethics. Remember, we also discussed about never cutting down the competition. Keep in mind, it doesn't make sense to cut down the competition. Also, too, we see some companies that are so policy-minded that they put their policies before their customers. It is important that we put our customers before our policies because the customer is the person paying the bill. Of course, policies are important and they have their place, but we don't want to get so consumed that we're so policy-minded that we actually lose the customer. A lot of companies get wrapped up into that, especially as they get bigger, because the person at the bottom of the totem pole that works for the company, they're kind of afraid. They don't know what to do. They haven't been trained correctly as to what policy to bend on and what policy not to bend on. So that's one of the downfalls, if you will, of growing a large company if it's not done correctly. We also don't want to limit our growth because we think we have some special type of trade secret or something like that. I've met many people like this. They have a recipe or a trade secret, and because they think that somebody else is going to steal it, they won't share it with anybody else or set up their business where they can grow and get bigger. They think that everybody in the world wants it. This only causes them to grow to a certain level, and usually it's not very big. That's because of their mentality, which of course would have to change if they want to get their business to grow larger. We also talked about one of my favorite subjects, irrational optimism. People get these ideas that they think everybody in the world is going to love it and they're going to make so much money at it. But don't get caught up in irrational optimism. Use logic when it comes to your business goals or ideas, because irrational optimism will get you nowhere. On CD4, we went into greater detail on good business ethics. You know, unfortunately, a lot of times today, we really don't see that in business, and that's why I wanted to bring it out. Because when we do good things or the right thing for the customer knows it and they appreciate it, and really, it is the right thing to do. We also talked about how a company will tell you something may cost, $50 or $100 to get fixed, and after you get it fixed and get the bill, it's double that. That's not the way to run a business. Word spreads around when you do things like that, and when we do things like this, we certainly are really not looking for a long-term relationship with the customer. And unfortunately, I shared with you a lot of the things that I go through in the aviation industry, and some of the things that I still go through on a regular basis, because these people sometimes, not all of them, but they're not focusing on keeping the customer happy. We want to make sure that we keep developing a deeper appreciation for our customers, recognizing that they are not stupid. We want to create or build a track record of trust and consistency with our customers. One of the greatest ways to understand what a customer wants and how to treat them is to put ourselves in their shoes. Now, on CDs 5 and 6, I had the privilege of introducing to you one of my millionaire mentors, Manu Mattani. Of course, later on in this particular review on this CD, we will go into some of the greater detailed information that they shared with us. Now, Manu is, of course, a very interesting individual. One of the things that motivated Manu, remember what it was? It was the fear of being poor. That fear is what he harnessed to become very, very successful today. One of the things that I thought was interesting with Manu's thought process was the fact that he's always believed that if others could be successful, he could too. Another thought that Manu shared with us that made him successful was the fact that he was able not to just have an idea, but he carried through on his ideas. That was a key to his success. That helped him become successful. You want to make sure you are that way too. You know, there are so many people out there with ideas. They're creative. They can do this and they can do that. But if we don't follow through on our ideas, it's hopeless. Everybody has ideas, but it's the people who follow through and make those ideas come into reality. Those are the people who get the results. Ideas are a dime a dozen, but the following through on the ideas, that's something that's truly golden. Manu also mentioned not to be penny wise and pound foolish. In aviation, they call this the $100 hamburger. People will get in their airplane, they'll fly for an hour or so, and they'll land and they'll have a little lunch at a restaurant and have a hamburger. And the hamburger may only be $5 or $6 or $10 or whatever, but it's really a $100 hamburger because it costs so much money to fly to the restaurant. But you just do it for the fun of it. In other words, if you really did that legitimately to save $3 on a hamburger and you flew, you know, an hour away to spend $500 to get there, it doesn't make any sense. So I'm being, of course, facetious or exaggerating this, but that's what it means to be penny wise and pound foolish. So don't be penny wise and pound foolish. Manu also talked about starting to invest money in small amounts. You can do it in small increments, maybe some mutual funds, whatever it is that you find that's workable for you. I think sometimes we think or we put in our minds that we have to have thousands of dollars or $5,000 or hundreds of thousands of dollars to invest in maybe having a nest egg or building that nest egg. It can be done with small amounts. But we have to do something. That's the key. We have to step up to the plate and make the investment. Thinking about it will do us no good. Mana also impressed upon us that knowledge is only power if you use it. So you can have a tremendous amount of knowledge, but it is useless if you don't use it. You've gotten a tremendous amount of knowledge in this program right here, and it's worth thousands and thousands of dollars. The money that you would have to pay for the time of these mentors would literally cost you thousands of dollars. But here's the information. You've listened to it now. Now you've got the knowledge, but remember that knowledge is only power if you use it. So make sure you get things done. We later had the opportunity to listen to the founder of Hawaiian Tropic, Ron Rice. I really enjoyed that interview and the story that he told us about how he got started. He started mixing his lotions in a garbage can. I guess that's a perfect example that we can start anywhere, and he has now created an empire over $200 million in sales. Not too bad for suntan lotion and beach products. Earlier in Ron's career, he had mentioned that he had a lot of time on his hands, and he made use of it. Now, keep in mind that usually when we start a business, that you'll usually end up having more time than you will money. That time, then, is your most valuable asset. So we want to take advantage of that time and be able to utilize it in such a way that we can increase our income and grow our business. And remember, too, that Ron's success was not overnight. He said that he felt that before he hit the big time, it took how many years? You remember, not two, not three, not five, but 7 years. And again, keep that in mind, 7 years. Now, many people think they're going to get into their business and, oh, maybe in 3 months or 6 months or even a year, they're going to be very, very successful. That is a rare exception. It's a long-term investment. It's a long-term investment mentally, physically, and emotionally. It's not going to give you a great return in just a couple of months. If you thought so or think so, that's irrational optimism, isn't it? And we talked about the hard times that Ron had, and he had mentioned that some of the hard times that he had related to some of the people that he had in his organization that cheated him. And because of those hard times, he's now able to better understand and probably more importantly, be able to read people a lot better. One of the key ingredients that Ron looks for in building a team is that he looks for longevity. He looks for people who are committed, people who are going to stay around for years, not people who just want a job and want to hang around for a year or two. A nice thing, too, is what Ron did. He openly admits to the fact that having no money when he started was a blessing because it enabled him to invest just a little bit at a time, and he worked that investment. He got a return on it. Then he took some of that return, and he invested it again. And he'd keep doing this in an effort to double or at least dramatically increase his investment in the long term. Some people think that I don't have much money to invest in a business. Well, Ron didn't either. So you start slowly. He started with a garbage can. You take a bit of money, you make a little something, you sell something, you take some of that profit, you go back again and do it again and again. You keep on multiplying over and over. And again, for Ron, it took 7 years before he felt that he had really hit it. So it takes time to nurture that investment. I'm often asked by people, how should I deal or handle with the ups and downs of sales? The rejection, the possibility of maybe getting a large account and then losing it? Well, I think Ron had an interesting outlook when I asked him how he deals with losing an account. And he said, well, they come and go. And just the way he said it shows that he really believes that. He recognizes that when he's trying to get an account, that the person who doesn't let him in or buy their product, that that person eventually is going to get fired, they're going to move on, they're going to go somewhere else. So the point here is you've got to be persistent. Due to this interview I've had with Ron, I'm able now to remember the two H factors that he used when hiring people. Remember what they were? He would look for people who were hungry and people who were humble. Good philosophy. The two H philosophy, I call it. If you're in a position where you're growing your business, maybe that would be a good thing for you to follow when it comes time to looking for people. You know, I recently hired somebody and I analyzed them to see if they had these two qualities. And by all means, they were very hungry financially and they were humble enough that they had enough respect for me. So when I would share with them some ways to do things a little differently than they did, they would accept it without it being a problem for them. So I'm finding that to be very useful in my organization and in my business. Perhaps you can do the same. Remember, look for people who are hungry and humble. I was also intrigued with Ron's humility with regards to the fact that he was always looking to learn from other people. He's very fortunate to mingle with some really big players all over the world, and he's still looking for ways to keep learning from others. So that's the attitude that we want to have. If we're always hungry and always wanting to learn more, that's going to certainly benefit our business. Ron was also very quick to being honest and open about his weaknesses. In fact, he admits that he has had no education with regards to learning or structuring or business. And a lot of people think that they have to be very educated. Well, you don't have to be very educated to own your own business. But a lot of people put a block in front of themselves mentally that they don't know how to read very well or they're not highly educated. And because of that, other people are going to think less of them. Or some people feel that they're going to be judged by others because they don't have any education. The bottom line is that if you are hungry and if you are humble and if you're willing to go out and knock on doors and believe in your product or service enough and stick to one thing, things will happen whether you're educated or not. At the level Ron's at now, he certainly appreciates the wisdom in delegating, and he admits at first it was very difficult for him to master. He delegates things now in such a way that he gives responsibilities to the right people. This way he knows that he doesn't have to think about the task at hand because it's given to people who he knows will follow through on it. That's hard to do when you first start doing a lot of delegating because if you're used to doing everything on your own, it's tough to let go. Many of us, me included, started off as a one-man business man and you're used to doing everything yourself. But you have to wear 100 hats when you get started. Now, as you grow your business, the thing to do is to really start taking off some of those hats and giving them to other people. So you have to let go and let them take control by delegating. Remember, too, one of the keys to Ron's success in delegating is that he's got not good people, but as he says, he's got real, real good people. And that's what he looks for. It's working for him. He finds people who are really, really good. He knows if he delegates responsibility to them, it's going to be done. In other words, he doesn't have to supervise or micromanage them. He knows they're going to take care of the job, and this way, he can go ahead and focus on his strengths. Ron's a firm believer in working hard. His work ethic certainly shows that. He recognizes the importance of spending a lot of time working early in his business. He says, a little bit of sleep, and he only spent money on the things that would bring him a return. There's a lot of wisdom there. I like, too, his perception about money. He never really worked for money itself. His motivation was his daughter and his employees. Now, I appreciate how he ties his motivation to his employees. He realizes that he has a lot of people relying on him. They all have families to feed. They have kids that need to go to school or college. So for him, it wasn't a greed thing. He has great values when it comes to that. And I thought that was really good. He said, too, if you only focus on yourself, you're going to be a very lonely person in the long run. And I'm sure you'll agree with that because it's very true. Bernie Little Sr. was our next millionaire mentor on our agenda. What a character. This is a man who knows how to make money. I thought what was interesting was his worth ethics that you heard him share with us early in the beginning of his interview. These millionaire mentors, all of them have strong work ethics. They are willing to work hard and get up early, and they are really motivated. They don't have to push or force themselves out of bed. They make things happen. Now, one thing that made Bernie successful was the fact that he used the OPM method. You know what that is? Other people's money. He wasn't greedy, and because of that, by using other people's money, he would then share the profits that were made from that money. Buy more planes, sell more planes. Borrow more money from people and turn over a profit and share that with the partners. This way, he was able to develop a track record with those lenders. He tells us in his interview that he loves to work. Now, have you noticed that all my mentors in this program think basically the same? Oh, perhaps they may use a different strategy or a marketing idea, but they have the same mental foundation. They all love what they do, and they work very hard at it. They all have developed the ability to create visions and turn them into what? Turn them into reality. Remember, for every thought you act on, you get a result. All these mentors are getting the same results financially. Why? Because they all think alike. Now, Bernie's passion isn't really the making of money, but it's making the deal. That is what he's passionate about. He'll make money on anything as long as he can get a good deal. Now, one of the things that Bernie mentioned was how confident he was. Have you noticed that's another thing that all these mentors have in common is the fact that they're all very confident in themselves and in what they do. Do you have that type of confidence? The confidence that creates that vision, and that vision in turn creates the drive and enthusiasm. But we can't get that drive and enthusiasm unless we have that confidence. It's very interesting to note that every person that you have heard in this program all have that one common denominator. Another thing that all these mentors have in common with each other, it's also one of Bernie's qualities, is the fact that they like to make a profit. They all understand that profit is the bottom line. A lot of people in business don't seem to focus on that enough, or at least have a balanced perspective on profiting as a company. This is something that Butch Stewart said that we'll discuss later. It's not that businesses go out of business because they're not creative. They go out of business because they run out of money. They are not making a profit. You cannot run a business for a long period of time without making a profit. And at the end of the day, if you don't have anything left over, as Butch says, you're a nothing business. We'll go over some more of this later. But they all think alike when it comes to making a profit. As Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's, once told me, profit is not a bad word. Another key factor that seems to come out in every one of these millionaires is the fact that they all have a good team, the right people on their side, from accountants to lawyers to CFOs to CPAs, you name it, and they make sure that these people are people that they can trust, they can delegate things to, and they know that things are going to get done. So make sure you work on creating a good, responsible team that will take care of you and your interests. One of the most important things that I got from Bernie's interview was when he said that if you do business in millions, you make millions. But if you do it in hundreds, you make hundreds. This makes so much sense. If you're doing business in hundreds, think about the mindset and what you would have to do or do differently to work with millions so that you can make millions. Now, this does not happen overnight. But to be successful with Bernie's philosophy, you've got to start somewhere. It's not reasonable to assume that most people can start with millions, so start with hundreds, but at least make sure you start if working in millions is one of your goals. Our next millionaire mentor on the agenda was Les Brown. Now, hopefully what you've got from his interview was that if he can make it, anybody can. Les really went through a lot in life, and he really came from the bottom and chose to put on his boots and strap them on tight. He has a great story, wouldn't you agree? If it doesn't motivate you, something is wrong. Now, Les was told, remember, that he was retarded. He was also put back, two grades, I think it was, and much more. And if anyone had the odds against them, it was certainly Les. He's a great example that proves if you have a belief and you set goals that you can really come out of all the negative stuff and make things happen in your life. He's a typical example of someone who had no business knowledge and didn't have a lot of education, but he didn't make excuses and he wouldn't let his past prevent him from having a fulfilling future and attaining his goals. A key point in the interview with Les is that he said that people have a tendency to give up easily. He says that a delay is not a denial. Some people look at delays that way and that's why they quit and give up. Though the hard times can be quite challenging, often that's the time when we become the most creative. Remember Les's term about possibility blindness? People are blinded to the possibilities that they can succeed at whatever it is that they care to work toward. So make sure you don't have that possibility blindness. When you have possibility blindness, you will also have a lack of motivation. Another thing that you may have found with all these mentors again, one thing they all had in common is that they all gave back. Bernie gave back. This was also evident with Butch Stewart. It was also evident in Les's interview. Les gave to the cancer and gives to the Cancer Foundation. Remember, his mother died of cancer, breast cancer, so Les is involved in many of the cancer foundations, and he speaks quite frequently for them. Perhaps one of the best ways to feeling and living a fulfilled life is to give. Now, do you recall the point in Les's interview where he shared with us the story about the speaker he was listening to while sitting in the audience? It was a powerful statement. The speaker said, "I represent the thoughts that you have rejected for yourself." I want to repeat that one. "I represent the thoughts that you have rejected for yourself." That's a powerful one. Another common denominator with all these mentors in this program is the fact that they all have an incredible appreciation for the customer. Remember the motto that Les shared with us. It's not our intention to please or satisfy our customer. It's our intention to amaze them. The customer is everything. That's the person who puts the food on the table. Les appreciates the customer. In our businesses, we want to make sure that we appreciate and understand our customers, what they need, and make sure we give it to them, and much more. Then we continued another interview with Manna Mattani. Perhaps you'll agree with me that Manna gave us the real nuts and bolts about the operation of a business. He gave us a lot of the key things that make us effective entrepreneurs. One of the things that made an impact on how I run my business was his viewpoint on, yes, lowering your standards. Want to watch your business grow? Don't be a perfectionist with an attitude. A lot of people are under the mentality that if you want it done right, do it yourself. How in the world can you grow a business if you think this way? So this concept for me personally changed entirely the way I operate my business. I now let go. I delegate things to others, definitely things that I know that they're better than I am at, and I also delegate things knowing that I may be able to do a better job with the task at hand, but that's only because I have more experience than maybe the person I'm giving the task to. I simply can't do everything myself, and neither can you. One of the biggest weaknesses that affect small business people, it's something that Manna touched on, is the fact that a lot of people work in the business instead of on the business. It is very important to work on the business, constantly working on the business, not in the business. And if you work in the business, many times your business will control you instead of you controlling it. I hope in this interview with Manna we were able to dispel one of the myths that people have about money and financial freedom or success. They feel that when they get a lot of money, they're going to retire, live on the beach, play golf all day, do this and that, and just chill and do nothing. Of all the millionaire mentors in this program, if they are still breathing, they are still doing what? They are still active and still working. None said, you know, when I make $1 million or $200 million or $1 billion, that I'm going to relax and do nothing. Manna made a great point here, though. He said, if you start off thinking that way, that's great. Use that to get you to move toward your goals. But notice the concept and the thoughts of all these millionaire mentors. They don't stop because they enjoy what they do. Manna's wisdom definitely comes out when it comes to his cloning project or his dad's list. Remember the dad's list, the do's and the don'ts, the procedures and policies that need to be implemented to keep his business running effectively and smoothly, even if he's not there. Manna is really a master in this department, and I can assure you of that. He does this so well that his operation is strictly turnkey. You turn the key and everything opens and runs the way it should, and he doesn't have to be there other than turn the key, if you will. Put it into action. He creates a policy manual, a procedure manual, an operation manual, and he has his forms manual. Now, what's the drawback? Why do so many little companies or small companies or business owners not have a manual such as the manual or manuals that Manna talks about? Well, I think the obvious answer is that it takes a lot of time and also money to do this. It takes hours and hours to accomplish all of this. I'm working on one now just for one area of my company that will probably take anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks. That's a lot of time just to stop and type and write and write. And if you're a small business owner, when you stop to do all this, your income might stop too because your time is usually spent generating the company's income or the cash flow. And as you well know, this can be an uphill battle. But the advantage of completing these is that usually once you have it done, it only needs to be done once and it can last for years. Maybe once in a while you have to touch them up. Now, in listening to Manna, I think it's very evident that he knows how to make money, and more importantly, he knows how to make money work for him. He also makes sure that his assets are protected through wills, trusts, by whatever means. This man is on the ball when it comes to this. He also shared a lot of ideas that he uses to make money grow. Make sure you don't just listen to those ideas, but seek the proper professional advice and follow through on them. We referred to earlier that having a small business is challenging because you do have to wear so many hats. As discussed with Manna, we both encourage making it a goal if you already haven't or if it's applicable to your specific needs to get an assistant. You can spend so much time doing non-essential things, wearing so many hats, that getting an assistant will relieve you of so much of this non-essential stuff and the pressure. This way, you can do more of the money-making things or projects. So if you're not able yet to be at the level where you can afford an assistant, why not make it a goal to do so? By making this goal a reality, you will find that you will end up having so much more time to focus on the bigger projects that you will end up probably making more than enough money to cover the expenses of your new assistant. There's nothing like having someone that you can delegate things to so you can spend more time focusing on your company's big picture. It's just the smart thing to do. Talking about making money, Mana helps us appreciate that you can make big money with small investments. Mana believes in diversifying, and he doesn't put all of his eggs in one basket. He does everything from mutual funds to saving coupons. Remember that? Another thing that I thought was interesting with regards to a commonality with each mentor is that they all seem to have found their own niche. Obviously, each mentor or business owner has their own competition, but they were able to find a niche within their business that helps them stand out from the crowd or that competition. Try to find your own niche. You might think you don't have a niche, but recall the niche that's missing from most companies today? It's customer service. We see so little of that in businesses today. Master customer service and you'll have an incredible edge over the competition. That's a niche right there. Obviously, you'll want to keep looking for other niches and make sure you perfect them, and you'll watch your business grow. Mano is also very good at motivating his people. All the mentors in this program all know how to motivate their associates in one form or another. This is what makes a good leader. They do this by setting an example. Maybe they'll offer contests or incentives, and they just make their staff feel good about whatever it is that they specialize in or do. I love Mano's tricks on how to negotiate with cash. Remember, cash is king, and I've used his negotiating techniques many, many times. And I'll tell you, they work, and they're very effective. You may want to try one of them when you get a chance. Try to make a deal with someone using cold, hard cash, where you would normally use a credit card or a check, and often you'll see the price of what you want to purchase go down. It's psychological, but it works. $1,000 cash looks a lot better than a $1,000 check. Wouldn't you agree? I think they even smell differently. Another one of Mano's strengths is his ability to not only take care of the customer, but to truly understand what their needs are. This again is yet another commonality with all the mentors in this program. They get it. They know how important the customer is, and they have a tremendous value on that, which is obvious when you see how they deal with the all-important customer. Two additional key points that we went over was not to just think outside of the box, but make sure you act on what you think outside of the box. Thinking outside of the box is great, but if you don't act on those thoughts, nothing happens. The other point was the importance of finishing unfinished business. Try to create an obsession, if you will, to finish unfinished business. And if you can do that, you constantly make sure that you finish what you start, which translates into always moving forward because you are always taking action. Too many people out there have ideas but never implement them, and I hope you're not one of them. Some like to get excited about coming up with great ideas. Doing that excites them, but that's all it does. It excites them. They don't follow through on the idea. They just get excited about it. So create an obsession to finishing unfinished business. We concluded our series with Butch Stewart. I'd like to have gotten a lot more time with him, but I was happy to get the interview itself. Since I've gone over the information from his interview and put them into action, I personally have already seen the results. I know by mastering what he shared with us in this interview that I personally will dramatically not just increase my income, but grow my organization. Let's review some of it again, even though we've already done some of this after his initial interview on the previous CD. Now, all of this information is so valuable to assisting you in running your business. It's really priceless. What I appreciate about Butch is the fact that he demands so much from himself. I guess you would have to if you do over $1 billion a year in sales. I'll never forget his analogy of business. It's like a marathon that never ends. That really is true when you think about it. What I think makes what he said so important, especially for those of you thinking about starting your own business or just getting started, is that it's not a cakewalk. It really never ends, especially if you raise your standards like he has. I have found that the higher you raise your standards, the truer, if you will, this becomes, because you're always improving and making things better and better and better. That in turn causes the marathon to keep going. Some people have high hopes getting started in their business, but usually find out it's a lot more challenging than they anticipated. One of Butch's strengths is his ability to lead. Remember what he said about leadership. He said, "The right leadership allows a culture to develop in a company that allows it to continue on its own, and it doesn't happen by mistake." What are the key words here? Allows it to continue on its own. This is how this man can have over 5,000 employees without micromanaging or wondering, "Oh my goodness, is everybody doing their job? Is everybody being taken care of? What's going on here and what's going on there?" He can't afford to do that. But he has the right leadership, which allows the company to continue on its own. Let me tell you, that's wisdom personified. I appreciate his other point on leadership. He said it has many forms, but he says to be a good leader, you must be prepared to do anything that you expect other people to do. This is so true. Many people think they're good leaders, but they really are not, because they don't set the proper example. They want others to do specific things that they personally are not willing to do. There's no question about it. All the mentors on this program have the leadership attitude. It's as if they're all from the same mold or the same line of thought. It's the thought process that has to be developed to get to the level that they're at. So if that's what you choose to do, the reason I say if that's what you choose to do is that all these mentors paid and are paying a price to get and stay at the level that they're at. You personally have to determine if you're willing to pay the price and how much of it are you willing to pay. They are all leaders. That's the quality they have. What about you? Do you have that leadership quality? Butch also has a tremendous amount of enthusiasm and passion for what he does. He knows how to work smart, and he is very creative. I appreciated, too, which I've already emphasized on Butch's CD, the two things that really stuck out. Well, there's more than two things, but one was to know your product. He went beyond that. He said not just know your product, but he said to know it how. He said to know it intimately. Know your product intimately. So what is your product? Do you know your product intimately? Do you know it inside and out? If you know your product intimately, you'll really start to understand how to get your customer to appreciate and purchase your product. And then the second thing he discussed was loving what you do. Remember how he put it. You must absolutely love what you do. Now you can see why he loves to work so much. He doesn't love what he does, but he absolutely loves what he does. There's a big difference in loving what you do and absolutely loving what you do, isn't there? We've all heard people say, "Oh, you have to love what you do," but I don't recall hearing someone say, "You must absolutely love what you do." Maybe that's why he does an estimated, rumored $1 billion or more a year in sales. We then jumped over to the subject of advertising. I was quite surprised that he didn't have some kind of advertising formula. I thought maybe, you know, if he did X amount of dollars in sales, that he would allocate a specific percentage of that to his advertising budget. So he admits that he may not be the greatest example on this, but he says that he does his advertising on instinct. Doing an advertising budget as large as he does on instinct says that I think he knows a little bit more than what he's giving out. I admire his formula for customer service when problems arise. He says, "Make amends and do it promptly." Many people do just the opposite of that when a customer has a problem. They want to run away and then they want to do that promptly. Let me repeat this one. Make amends and do it promptly. Here are the three things that I've used to change the way I operate my business. The three things that he shared was what? Remember TSA, training, supervision, and accountability. Your team must be trained right. They need to be supervised and they must be held accountable. To grow a company, you must have people with a fix-it mentality. You don't want them running to someone else or asking others to solve their problems. You need problem solvers. We need to be problem solvers ourselves. His simple, surefire way to make customers happy and solve their problems is simply put yourself in their shoes. Put yourself in the customer's position, and you will have the answers. Well, I hope I've been able to bring to you some really good information. I know that I've personally gotten a lot of value from this. Maybe I'm a bit selfish because I wanted to learn from them as well. This helps me see what I can do to improve myself, to improve my associates, and my organization. Believe me, this is priceless, priceless knowledge that you've been exposed to here. Take the information and do something with it. It is valueless if you just listen to this for the sheer entertainment value. And I hope you've taken some detailed notes, and maybe you can take the time now to see by reviewing your notes what you can improve on. But most of all, make sure that you follow through on what you've written down. And once you do that, you will see your business grow, grow, grow. And remember that dreamers, yes, true dreamers, never sleep with their eyes closed. Sweet dreams.